give you the details on that, too. Also, if you haven't heard about the pictures that have come out in GQ magazine, the ones that showed the defense briefings that were given via Don Rumsfeld to the president, the military intelligence briefings with nice color photos on the front showing biblical quotations. Well, I'm going to let you know about that and also invite you to go to my website, radioinsidescoop.com, and click there, and you will see those pictures for yourself. For those of you who doubted it was a holy war, well, I guess here is your confirmation. And part of the ugly, I guess, is Speaker Pelosi and her flip-flops, though it seems that she's getting more support. It sounds like the CIA really did mislead her. On health care proposals, the health care companies are already caving in. On auto standards, we have the president announcing an increase in fuel standards for the first time since, I guess, Jimmy Carter's time. All in all, there's some bad, there's some ugly. We'll talk about it, but I actually think the good outweighs the bad and the ugly. And, of course, there's always the joke that is Michael Steele, the head of the Republican Party. So I have a lot to talk about this hour, but as always, I want to encourage you to join the discussion, any aspect of what I've mentioned, and just give us a call, 877-4-HEAD-ON. Some of you have never called in. Some of you haven't called in a while. 877-443-2366. And, of course, the earlier you call, the more you get to talk. Before we get to any of that, though, I want to talk about Notre Dame. I have to say, I hadn't planned on discussing Notre Dame. I didn't think it was that important. So a bunch of, anti-abortion advocates were complaining that Barack Obama was speaking at a Catholic institution at Notre Dame, which, after all, is not a seminary, but is, typical of Catholic universities in the United States, is more well-known, perhaps, for its sports teams than for its academia. But people were protesting, and, the pro-lifers, they have a right to protest, right? And while I would argue that their positions, for some of them, are based on, let's say, a very backwards notion of women, there's no question in my mind that the position that has become the pro-life position began in the idea of controlling women's sexuality and in, frankly, punishing any kind of sexuality. And while I recognize that there are some that are, doing this for political reasons, I would also be the first to tell you that I think that many who hold the pro-life position sincerely hold that position. Now, I don't think it's a very practical position. I mean, if you go around saying abortion is murder, but you don't want to punish the murderers, you don't want to throw the 1.5 million women that have abortions in jail for life, then it's hard to see how your position is consistent. I do think that people who are pro-life have a lot of trouble explaining how they would enforce their position. But I have never, ever, ever said that people who hold pro-life views are crazy or fanatical or immoral. I think it's a moral position. It's not one that I share. People that are against gun control, I have no way. They just seem crazy to me. People who say, oh, no, let the mentally ill buy guns at gun shows, I think they're loopy. I don't think there's an argument for that. I've never said that about pro-life. I understand the argument. I get it, that there's a fetus and that it is a potential human life. They would call it an actual human life. It's another interest, and I recognize that. So all that being said, and recognizing that while I am pro-choice, I don't think that people who are pro-life, purely for their philosophical reasons, not because they want to impose the religion on everybody else, but purely for their philosophical reasons, I recognize it is a legitimate philosophical position to hold. And so I wasn't going to comment on Notre Dame, right? Free speech. Let people speak. Let them say what they want. And that's just part of America, right? So I wasn't going to comment on it until I read the remarks by the president of Trinity, another Catholic college, one actually in the nation's capital. It's in Washington College. It's not in Washington. Trinity Washington University. I'm not sure where this is. No, it is. Yes. I correct my misstatement. It is indeed in Washington, D.C. That's what I thought to begin with. See, I thought I had made a mistake, but I was mistaken. Anyway, Trinity President Patricia McGuire denounced the religious vigilantism of those protesting Barack Obama at Notre Dame and called it an embarrassment to all Catholics. Maybe it takes a Catholic to criticize the Catholics. Again, I would say, you know, they have a right to say and speak out as they wish, as long as they don't disrupt the thing. And some of them did. I mean, I think that any time a speaker is disrupted, it's a problem. And I don't care whether it is pro-life advocates interrupting the President of the United States or Code Pink advocates interrupting Don Rumsfeld. I think that you should let someone speak, and then that speaker should be open to questions and dialogue and so forth. But reading what Trinity President Patricia McGuire wrote, I had to concede she had a point. She wrote, she said at the graduation ceremony at Trinity, she said, quote, "A half century of progress for Catholic higher education is at risk of slipping back into those insular, parochial, pre-Vatican II days when academic freedom was not valued within the Catholic Church. The real scandal at Notre Dame today," she said, "is not that the President of the United States is speaking at commencement. The real scandal is the misappropriation of sacred teachings for political ends. The real scandal is the spectacle of ostensibly Catholic mobs camping out for the specific purpose of disrupting the commencement address. The face that Catholicism shows to our new president should be one marked with the sign of peace, not distorted in the snarl of hatred." Again, maybe only another Catholic president could say this, but I think she put it eloquently. She said, quote, "The religious vigilantism apparent in the Notre Dame controversy arises from organizations that have no official standing with the church, but who are successful in gaining media attention as if they were speaking for Catholicism." It's a strong point. After all, the majority of Notre Dame students welcomed the President of the United States, as did the President of Notre Dame, who conferred upon President Obama an honorary degree. We should not see these protests as Catholics rising up against Obama, but rather as a few people trying to hijack the Catholic Church and its opposition to abortion as a political means to oppose the president. She's absolutely right. She goes on to say, quote, "They have established themselves as uber guardians of a belief system we can hardly recognize. Theirs is a narrow faith devoted almost exclusively to one issue. They defend the rights of the unborn but have no charity toward the living. They mock social justice as a liberal mythology." Go, Patricia McGuire. Boy, doesn't that hit it right on the head? I just said it so much better than I'd even thunk it. I mean, for all my attacks on things the Pope has done, the things Catholicism has done, I've always had a begrudging respect for the Catholic Church, I must say. No, I don't support the hierarchy, of course. No, I don't support the molestation of little boys and girls, of course not. No, I don't support their views on abortion or chastity or sex education. But I've always recognized that the Catholic Church wasn't acting purely politically. I think they are holding certain values. And one of the values that the Catholic Church holds is completely the antithesis of the Republican Party. For all its imperfections, for all the things it has done wrong in the past, from, you know, excommunicating Galileo to failing to excommunicate Adolf Hitler, the one thing the Catholic Church has consistently done is looked out for the poor. You gotta give them credit for that. They have held true to the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth to look out for those most in need. And sure, sometimes they do it in ways that I don't support, but you gotta give them credit. Social justice is part of the Catholic Church. And what Trinity President Patricia McGuire reminded me is that the Catholic teaching has never been a one-issue teaching. And to the extent that you can take all of Catholic teaching and bring it down to abortion, it's really doing a disservice to Catholicism and to most American Catholics, who, let's face it, most of whom are Democrats. Most of whom, even if they're pro-life, recognize that the democratic concern, the liberal concern for those least among us, the idea that every American should have a chance to succeed Every American should have equal opportunity. No American should be homeless. No American should be without health care. No American should go hungry. These are Catholic principles. They are democratic principles. They are liberal principles. They are, dare I say, American principles. And what Patricia McGuire reminded me is I shouldn't be hating on Catholicism because we got a few crazy people at Notre Dame attacking the president for his position on abortion. She redeemed it very much in my eyes, and I want to thank her for that. Moving on. Did you catch Michael Steele's speech? Did you hear it? I got to say something. As much as I like what Rush Limbaugh and Dick Cheney and Karl Rove do for the Republican Party, I like Michael Steele too. Him, Sarah Palin, all of those Republican leaders, I say, go forth and keep talking. Because every time you talk, you help us Democrats out. Of course, Michael Steele said that the Republicans are not apologizing anymore. Really? Really? In 3 months now that Obama's been president, all the massive debt and depression and two unnecessary wars and torture and tearing up of the Constitution, it's all healed now, huh? Great. Great. They're not going to look back, he said, quoting Ronald Reagan three times and Edward Burke, the 18th century philosopher, once. They're not going to look back on the past 8 years. They may look back 30 years or 300 years, but not the past 8 years. No, 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 no. No, they're going to look forward. And one of the things they're going to do in looking forward is they are, and this is true, folks. This is not a joke. This is not a Fox News poll. This is not a Rush Limbaugh. The Republican National Committee is voting, get this, on a resolution to demand that Democrats rename their party the Democrat Socialist Party. That's what they're doing. They're demanding the Democrats rename their party. I think the Democrats should respond in kind. We should demand the Republicans rename their party the party of old, fat, white Confederates who, I don't know, who love money and hate humanity. That would work. It would be a bit harder of an acronym than GOP, but we could work it out. That's their new idea. Demand that the Democratic Party rebrand itself the Democrat Socialist Party. I guess they have to get rid of that Democratic, of course, and then call it Socialist. But you see where the Republicans are going. In the Republican mind, caring for the poor, looking out for those that are diseased or hungry or in need or children that need to be taken care of, SCHIP comes to mind, the State Children's Health Insurance Program, all the things that Jesus of Nazareth taught, all the things that Trinity President Patricia McGuire taught, talking about the best of Catholicism, for Republicans, that's socialism. How dare we care about the poor? That's socialism. And so that's what they're going to do. That's the new Republican plan, to which Jim Greer, chairman of the Republican Party, has criticized the resolution as, quote, stupid, unquote. Shh. Somebody shut up Jim Greer. Keep going, folks. This is better than Freedom Fries. It is fun, I have to admit, to watch the implosion of the Democrat, of the Republican Party. Jim Bob, that's his real name, Jim Bob, J-I-M-B-O-B-B. Jim Bob, an RNC member from Indiana, told the committee in supporting his resolution to require the Democratic Party. How are they going to require the Democratic Party to change its name? What are they going to do, march in with their guns? I don't know. In his motion, Jim Bob's motion, boy, you think, you know, as a caricature, he'd at least change his name. You know, James Robert? No, Jim Bob's motion. He writes, "This will be an opportune time for the RNC to exert bold and aggressive leadership by the passage of these resolutions." The resolutions requiring the Democrats to change their name. which our members and supporters are crying out for and which the American people need and deserve. That's right. That's what the American people need and deserve. Not a job. Not health care. Not a clean environment. Not education for our kids. Not a cleaner environment and a working energy supply. No, 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 no. Now we need to rename the Democratic Party. Oh. But there's Michael Steele getting up there talking about change.